You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Lisa Bloss. She's talking to me from New York. Lisa, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me, Brainerd.
Lisa, there's a number of things I want to talk about. I know you're involved in a few different things, but let's begin with what it is that you're working on now to kind of introduce the listeners to your work.
Well, since about 2013, I've been focusing pretty steadily on making large-scale works in collage on Arches paper and also medium-scale works on vellum, which essentially address an issue that I've been preoccupied with for a good 5 years, and that's the relationship between art history, specific points in art history, and those moments or works in relationship to current events, and in particular, the relationship between current events, the environment, and civil unrest. So these are the precursors that I think about when I'm about to make a body of work. And I guess pretty much steadily since 2005, we've seen a real drastic change in the environment and climate change. And I think many artists have been absorbing that experience and that reality in different ways. And for me in particular, I've just been trying to look back into time and trying to make connections across time through these issues. And so those are sort of the way I begin a project in the research phase, and then I go on to make works which end up being both abstractions and what I call typographical fields, which are text fragments. And those works are made essentially by painting large sheets of archival paper, and then I cut down that material and use that material to make the collages. So currently I am in an exhibition in Washington State in Bellingham, which is a national, the show I should say is a national survey on drawing that was curated by Katerina Manchanda, and the work that I have in that exhibition is a very large work on Arches paper and specifically addressing the current, I would say, political crisis we're encountering right now in the country. And so I try in my work...
Yeah, but let's talk about that piece in particular and how that addresses it. And then I'd also like to talk about your Monday series, which will kind of articulate maybe some of what you're saying. But in the piece that you just mentioned that addresses... much of the current situation, how does that address that? And maybe can you talk a little bit about how that piece was built?
Yes. Well, this piece in particular is entitled Four Corners, and I modeled it after the idea of the four corners of the United States as being a geographic region. And then the four corners really has, I would say, multiple meanings in that it becomes the four edges of four sheets of paper that are quite large that then compose a very large work. So in this sense, the four edges of paper, the four edges of a geographic region, and then the four edges which compose the collage. And the image that this entire work is essentially flags that have been cut up and rearranged and folded in different scenarios, and those flags are essentially the American flag and the Confederate flag. And within the composition, I have what I call typographical fields of type and also the letters GOP. So it's very direct in its address to this contemporary moment and what I have seen building over many years in terms of our current crisis, really, with regard to how the history of the country is being dealt with through symbols and sign systems and identification through historical legacies that are quite problematic. And I think that in this particular work, I wanted to address sort of the instability of both the sign systems, but also their presence, their continued presence in our contemporary experience.
Right, and just to emphasize that, in using those flags, the Confederate flag, the American flag, and creating these large scale works, it's using, as you say, imagery that's loaded at this point between Charlottesville and all kinds of things surrounding that, and the Confederate statues everywhere. That's, as you're saying, part of the crisis that you're addressing, correct? This kind of relationship to our past.
Yes, and this address, I would say, has been really a very current project for me, going back to 2004, because I was educated in Los Angeles, and soon after graduate school, I moved to Washington, D.C., really to make a very large project based on these very issues. And so I spent essentially that time, it was about a good 5.5-year time period in Washington, D.C., really absorbing a lot of research material and visiting various museum sites and battlefields and really trying to understand the sign systems that we read about and might have some kind of knowledge or a sense of knowing about what this might be, but I also wanted to experience these signs within the landscape that really produce them. And so the project that defined this period for me was entitled Meet Me at the Mason-Dixon, and it addresses essentially our confronting our legacies through race and identity and historical legacy and how those problems are still being worked out.
And so can you tell me just a little more about Meet Me at Mason-Dixon and how it did address that?
Well, it was a multimedia installation that involved about a 9-by-15-foot wall, ephemeral wall installation, which composed of drawings, sculptures, paintings, various maps and ephemera that I had collected during this time period of living and working there and visiting many collections and museum sites. And through that prism of the wall installation, I then produced both portrait paintings, landscape paintings, and photographs, which were based off of collages. So, and each section of the project really examined a different aspect of this inquiry. One aspect, the three figure paintings, were essentially three particular people who were linked through aspects of either heroism, criminality, or fame. Three things that I found are, for me, in this subject, are very very much at the core of, I think, the American identity. And so I really wanted to pair these or put these three people together as a kind of point to then make other work, which the photographs that were based off of collages were all addressing very particular objects in museum collections that point to these histories and these very fraught histories, I might add. And then the landscape paintings were really about going back to various sites during the Civil War period and going to battlefields and different landscapes and trying to absorb those, and then painting specific sites which were scenes of great crisis and death, essentially. So it was with those three different ways of looking into these dense histories and what I call a place of fraught subjectivity, which I still see being played out in our current landscape, even right now to this very day.
And in your series, because I think that also points to that kind of, you continue that this type of contrast that you alluded to at the beginning, your Monday series?
Yes, the Monday's Image series has, it's been going on my website now for, I want to say 2.5 years. And Monday's Image is, what it is that every Monday I, depending on the city I'm in, I take the front page of the major newspaper that defines that city, and then I search in various sources that I've gathered over time for an image that is in a particular museum collection and try to pair that work of art with the front page of the paper. And what I really wanted to do in this instance was trying to both speak to the aspect that a work, an artwork, goes, both exists in and outside of its own time and its own autonomy, and also the relationship of being an artist in a conversation with art history and with your peers. And somehow I think that pairing this idea of being in the world, and because essentially a Monday is a recording of time. Monday's Image is me recording my time in space in a particular city. And then how I'm filtering through the various images and events of that particular day through this other lens of an artwork that exists in a collection and what those meanings might engender. So I think it points to the way I think as an artist, in that everything, I think, for me in particular, that interests me in making art is about this participation in a long familial history and where you situate yourself in that history and how you build upon that particular history. And so I think Monday's Image is a way for me to kind of put that out to the public, to allude to both my own subjectivity, what I'm thinking about, and possibly what a viewer might take from that gesture. And I think the pairing is a very, it's sort of a recurrent theme for me about pairing and putting these things side by side and what might happen in interpretation or understanding of things side by side.
And it's that's so interesting, you know, and again, for, I mean, those who will click on this in the interview, this is under the news section of your blog, of your website. And so to ask one more thing about putting this together, or just explore this a little bit, is this all done? I mean, this is the blog on your website, so it's interesting because that's also a point of dialogue, right? You're creating a conversation, as you're saying. It's something that people can see every Monday. Are you doing this as you travel from your phone or a laptop? Or this is something that happens after Monday? I'm just wondering about the actual technical aspects of this, because it's the website looks great. I'm just wondering, are these uploaded on the go, or is this something you have to kind of arrange because you have, you know, the cover of the New York Times and almost all of these that looks perfect?
Well, yeah, it actually happens the day of. So I get up early every Monday morning, and depending where I'm at, and I look at the front page. And what I mean by the front page is the digital front page for the New York Times, because I'm living in New York, I have the New York edition that I'm looking at. And so I look at that digital version and then take essentially a screenshot from that and then work from there. For example, next week I'm traveling to Italy, so I had this conversation with my mother about which paper she thought would be the most major newspaper for Italy, and she gave me her opinion. And it is literally done the day of. So I have to have my laptop with me, and the pairing of these two things actually can take several hours. It can take the entire day, and it just depends on really what I'm finding. And what kind of synergy. There's something that always clicks in the end once I find it. It's really quite interesting because it also tells you a lot about when a work is finished. And I think that's something that all artists are always thinking about: when is a work finished? And so, but there's just something that clicks, because many times my first choices, I feel somehow it's either it's not going deep enough, or that I just need to keep researching and going further and further into these collections that I've archived. And sooner or later, it occurs to me what the relationship is and what kind of communication I want to put together.
It's a really interesting process, and that's clear. There's one other thing that, of course, stands out, and that's the amount of tags you use on each one of these, which is kind of wonderful and kind of an article in itself, it seems. You post an image, you're comparing it with the Times, and then, I mean, and listeners will go on and see this, but then there's a section of tags, and the tags are, could be anywhere from 10 to 30 pieces of text, and they seem to vary a lot from what it is to using other descriptive terms, like in I think a recent one from the John Chamberlain sculpture and steel and all kinds of things, down to all kinds of words that I suppose could be pulled out of the time: sunshine, warmer, breezy. That is alone. So I have just a question about how you put all those together, because that seems like you're, of course, drawing from a whole cover and tremendous amount of content to kind of get it down to these 50 or 100 tags, which is still a lot, right?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, the hashtags are a source of great pleasure for me, and also point a viewer to my love of language fragments, which also end up in very large collages and the vellum works too. And for example, you mentioned the weather aspect at the very bottom, and that also is something that ends up at the bottom of, once I finish all the hashtags, I always want to sort of address that particular day and place and time with the weather. And the hashtags really also point to things that I'm thinking about at the same time as pointing to elements that are coming out of that front page itself. And I think that in many ways, the hashtags, which I actually every day or every Monday I write sort of notes while I'm looking at the front page about what kind of image I think I'm looking for, to help guide my search. So in many ways, that initial just writing down of notations helps me in also drafting the hashtags once I finish it. And it's funny, because I feel that in many ways, we're always trying to, now with all of the way we use Instagram and many of the sources, Twitter, et cetera, there's always, I feel as if my whole world is guided by hashtags, and that's how people locate themselves in the world. And so it's interesting, because it does occupy, as you say, a page, and it's like on the same equivalent plane as the work of art, the front page of the paper, and then the hashtags.
Right, and to see this is fascinating. And just one more thing about hashtags, and you're saying how that's kind of your navigational system now. Hashtags have become so predominant. But you know, you're also a researcher and organizer, and you create all this kind of context around something. Hashtags seem to be an unusual part of that process for a researcher and artist. So just to say one more thing about hashtags. What do you mean by that is how you navigate now, or that this plays such an important role? Do you use hashtags in other ways throughout the days? Is that how you kind of locate yourself in relationship to other things? And if so, how?
Yeah, I think that hashtags certainly are the another kind of language that we use through various social media sites. So whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, and it's a way, for example, of connecting to a person out there on the internet that you might not know. So for example, one of my favorite hashtags I like to use when I have certain moments at night is the hashtag night shift, because there's a double entendre in the language where night shift normally refers to someone that has a night job, possibly going late into the early morning hours. But I like the fact that for me, night shift can also mean sort of a pleasurable activity. For example, meeting a friend at her studio and speaking about her work, to me, that is night shift. And so it's sort of an interesting place where you can play with words and think about different interpretations of words. And that's why in my own work, for example, when I've made very large collage works that some of the type, the Speaking Solid Ground, or We've Seen Nothing Like This, it can refer both to itself as a fragment of language, but it also goes out in space and time and can refer to multiple events or multiple times. And so that's the thing I like about that and how hashtags function. And also just the way in which the internet connects people in this horizontal way versus a way that's hierarchical or more vertical.
It's very interesting. True, of course. Before we go, I want to ask you one more question, which is, what is it that you're reading at the moment? Could be anything at all.
Yes, I actually have a few things that the books are really so marked now and dog-eared, but currently I am absolutely passionate about Flight Out of Time, which is A Dada Diary by Hugo Ball. And the other book that's sitting here side by side with me is the Compendium of Essays on Collage. It was actually printed in tandem with an exhibition at Luxembourg and Diane called The Ends of Collage. And I'm also reading a little nice book that was produced in conjunction with a show on Alan Sompis' work. And that is a little book called Natural History, and that was something I obtained when I saw the show at Alden Projects here in New York. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, so many great things, I just received a book by a scholar named Susanna Gold. It's called The Unfinished Exhibition, Visualizing Myth, Memory, and the Shadow of the Civil War in Centennial America. And she writes about my Meet Me at the Mason-Dixon wall installation in this book. So this is one of the last things I have on my desk at present.
That all sounds like exciting reading. I want to thank you, Lisa, for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your work.
Thank you so much, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.